Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 53 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kenzie Thompson.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
And at this time, we have no further information as to what we had when we got started.
The search continues for a missing Round County teenager.
A Greenup County teacher accused of dragging a child to the school halls has been offered a plea bargain.
Legislation to restore voting rights to felons who served their time in Kentucky continues.
The University of Kentucky will now be taking a closer look at students with mental health issues in the wake of two student suicides just this semester.
The West Virginia Senate passed a bill to increase penalties for passing a stopped school bus with flashing lights on.
In sports, the Round County boys tip off with West Carter tonight in the first round of the 16th Region Basketball Tournament.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low around 32 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Authorities are still seeking information regarding a missing Round County teenager. 16-year-old Amber Lewis was last seen at her father's home in Bath County on Friday. Her brother told authorities he saw Lewis leave the residence in an unknown vehicle. But since then, Bath County Sheriff Jesse Stewart says there hasn't been much to go on.
It is under investigation. It is by us and Round County School Resource Officer. And at this time, we have no further information as to what we had when we got started.
Lewis is described as a white female, 5 feet 6 inches tall, weighing 172 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. Anyone with information on her whereabouts is asked to contact police.
A former Greenup County teacher accused of dragging an autistic child through the school hallways was offered a plea bargain last week. Trina Abrams is currently facing a misdemeanor charge of fourth-degree assault that she had pleaded not guilty to in January. According to Greenup County Attorney Mike Wilson, the bargain introduced at a pretrial conference offered Abrams the maximum penalty, a year behind bars, for a guilty plea. Abrams is taking time to consider the offer and declined to discuss it with a reporter for the Daily Independent. Greenup District Judge Brian McLeod scheduled a second pretrial conference for May 8th, and a modified plea offer may be on the agenda. Abrams remains free on the condition that she's not teaching or working in a school.
A key witness to a 2017 shooting took the stand in Fayette County Circuit Court today, nearly 2 years after the event. Amya Catching testified about the incident that left her paralyzed from the waist down, which happened the day before her birthday. Catching reported that she was watching TV when bullets started flying through the house. She told the jury she knew something was wrong when her body felt like jello and she couldn't get up. The alleged shooter, Carlos Jenkins, is facing 11 counts of wanton endangerment for what police say was his role in a shooting spree which caused Catching's injury.
Police in Elliott County are looking for a man accused of armed robbery. Kentucky State Police and the Elliott County Sheriff's Office are investigating an armed robbery that occurred Monday at the Zip Zone gas station. Officials say an unknown male entered the business with a firearm and left with an unknown amount of cash in a silver passenger vehicle. KSP are investigating the incident. Anyone with information is asked to call the Moorhead Post.
A man has been arrested in Clay City after leading police on a short chase in a stolen car. Michael Osborne was arrested Monday afternoon. Kentucky State Police say a trooper saw the stolen vehicle on Verdon Ridge Road and attempted to stop the driver. The operator of the vehicle refused to stop, and a brief chase took place. Osborne turned on West Lone Oak Road and made a U-turn and attempted to strike the trooper. The trooper then fired his state-issued firearm into the vehicle to attempt to stop the vehicle. The operator then proceeded back onto Verdon Ridge Road and wrecked the stolen vehicle. Osborne then allegedly fled on foot to Skyview Lane. After receiving several tips from the public, troopers arrested Osborne and lodged him in the Powell County Detention Center. This incident remains under investigation by the Kentucky State Police.
In the wake of two student suicides this semester, University of Kentucky President Eli Capiluto has convinced a new task force to look harder at what UK is doing to help students who are anxious, depressed, suicidal, or simply overwhelmed. Taylor Nolan and Sean Cully, both 19-year-old UK students, died in January. Coroner Gary Ginn has defined both deaths as suicides. Mary Bowling is the director of UK's Counseling Center. She spoke with the Herald Leader.
As we move forward working with students, my hope would be that students who have a need, have high levels of distress, will connect with us and allow us to help connect them to other resources if needed.
Suicide rates went up 28% nationally between 2010 and 2016. According to the National Institute on Mental Health, in Kentucky, it was 36%.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
A pre-hearing conference is scheduled for today between the Lexington Alcoholic Beverage Control Office and Horseshoes Kentucky Grill and Saloon has been rescheduled. Police say this informal meeting could be the start of a process that leads to a fine and or suspension of the bar's alcohol license. After leaving the bar last month, 41-year-old Joey Lee Bailey got onto the interstate driving south in the northbound lanes, then hit and killed a family of five from Michigan. Bailey also died in the wreck. The coroner's report showed he had a blood alcohol level of more than three times the legal limit. Investigators say they found evidence that Bailey had been drinking at Horseshoes and another bar outside of Lexington before getting on the road. The pre-hearing conference has been rescheduled for March 5th at 10 a.m. The Kentucky Alcoholic Beverage Control is also conducting an investigation.
Portsmouth, Ohio authorities have arrested two people on drug trafficking charges. WSAZ reports 45-year-old Jerry Huffsetter and 45-year-old Angela Pack faced charges of trafficking and possession of methamphetamine and heroin. Officials say they seized over $6,600 worth of drugs at the pair's home on Bennett Street. Both suspects are lodged in the Scottsdale County Jail.
Momentum appears to be building for legislation restoring voting rights to felons who have served their time in Kentucky. But as WUKY's Josh James reports, advocates may still have a long wait ahead.
Multiple voting rights restoration bills have been filed this session with bipartisan backing, but Monday's discussion of House Bill 91, sponsored by Lexington Representative George Brown, was just that, a discussion with no vote.
I beg of you to please consider the vast amount of people that sit in a very similar position as I.
I sat around for years, and I watched decisions being made for me and never had a say-so in what happened.
I made some mistakes to get that 10-year prison sentence, but I'm not a mistake.
Brown says he will likely introduce a new clean bill with no exceptions in 2020.
It probably will not happen this session. I'm looking at us coming back. We're gonna scrub the bill, and we're going to look at coming back next session.
The House passed voting rights legislation 10 years running from 2007 to 2016, but efforts have stalled in recent sessions. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A state bill would track youth interaction with law enforcement to determine whether there is disproportionate contact with minority students. Reverend Edward Palmer supports Senate Bill 20. He says there's already enough data to show that minority kids are more likely to wind up referred to adult court.
So we see same system, two different outcomes. This bill allows us to identify that and then institutionalize a process in which agencies will strategize to address those disparities.
Opponents of the bill argue the justice system is rife with disparities that are not the result of biased policing. The bill overcame those objections and now heads to the full Senate.
A bill that would put the Kentucky Board of Elections and certain executive branch contract employees under the governance of the state executive branch ethics code received House approval Monday. House Bill 81, sponsor Representative Jerry Miller, a Republican from Louisville, said the Board of Elections is the only full-time salaried executive branch board or commission in Kentucky that does not fall under the executive branch ethics code statute. The State Parole Board, Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission, Workers' Compensation Board, and the Kentucky Claims Commission are covered. HB 81 would also put full-time, non-seasonal executive branch contract employees and management under the code. Similar legislation was sponsored by Miller and passed by the House as HB 300 last year. HB 81 passed the House by a vote of 89-5. The bill now goes to the Senate for its consideration.
Kentucky students could use their Keys Merit Scholarships for qualified workforce training programs under a bill that cleared the House Education Committee Monday. House Bill 61 would add these training programs, which the bill states would have to be in one of Kentucky's top five high-demand work sectors. The list of eligible Use for Keys or Kentucky Educational Excellence Scholarship Awards earned by Kentucky high school graduates. If passed, the bill will allow students enrolled in the Qualified Workforce Training Program to be eligible for reimbursement of training costs based on their Keys Award beginning with the 2019 school year. Similar legislation was considered by the 2018 Kentucky General Assembly in both the House and the Senate. HB 61 now moves to the full House for its consideration.
Kentucky's Chief Justice is voicing concerns about a priority Senate bill that could alter which judges hear cases brought against the state. Under Senate Bill 2, the governor, legislature, or state agencies could ask for a randomly selected judge to hear their case. Chief Justice John Minton warned that shuttling judges from across the state would create a financial burden on the court system and potentially favor state officials.
It is attempts to create a special classification, or however we define it, for government officials, and would give to government officials rights that other Kentuckians don't have.
Proponents of the bill say the current system leads to an uneven playing field. The measure now moves to the full chamber for consideration.
Legislation that would require all candidates for public office in Kentucky to electronically file their campaign finance reports starting in 2020 has passed the Kentucky General Assembly. Senate Bill 4 received final passage in the House Monday by a vote of 68-26. The bill passed the Senate earlier this season on a 34-2 vote. Current law only requires that candidates for statewide office electronically file or e-file their campaign finance reports. According to the Senate testimony last month, those include candidates for governor, lieutenant governor, treasurer, state auditor, attorney general, secretary of state, and agricultural commissioner. Candidates whose campaigns raise less than $3,000 during a reporting period would be exempt from the new e-filing requirements under SB 4. SB 4 will soon go to the governor for his signature or otherwise become law.
The West Virginia Senate has passed a bill that would increase some penalties for passing a stopped school bus whose warning lights are flashing. The Senate voted unanimously Monday to send the bill to the House of Delegates. Violators could see minimum fines double to $500 for a first offense and $1,000 for a second offense under the bill. The bill would also allow double driver's license suspensions to 60 days for a first offense and 100 days for a second offense. It also would require exterior cameras on the front and back of all county school buses bought after July 1st.
Dozens of young people were arrested as more than 100 protested in Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's Capitol Hill office. The group was urging McConnell to support the Green New Deal, a climate change campaign sponsored by Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Destine Grigsby of Louisville was among the protesters.
We are here to support a Green New Deal resolution, a plan to create millions of new jobs that will help stop the climate crisis.
However, Senator McConnell did not meet with the protesters. More than 40 protesters were arrested for unlawfully demonstrating and obstructing the building. The group previously protested Democrats, including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senator Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Taking a look at your weather for tonight, mostly clear with a low around 32. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 61. Wednesday night, a slight chance of rain with increasing clouds, low around 37. Thursday, have 50% chance of rain and cloudy with a high near 46. Thursday night, a 50% chance of rain with a low around 32. Friday, mostly clear with a high near 49. Taking a look at your WMKY listening area temperatures, Ashland, 52 degrees, 56 in Inez, 54 in Winchester, 55 in Lexington, 53 in Flemingsburg, and 56 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
A movement aimed toward banning the practice of conversion therapy is making its way across the Commonwealth. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
If you think about all of the things that we would consider to be child abuse, I believe that this, at the end of the day, has the exact same characteristics.
Throughout history, LGBTQ people have faced various amounts of oppression, and conversion therapy, the practice of trying to change or convert one's sexuality through a variety of exercises, has contributed to this. Although conversion therapy has been widely condemned by health organizations from around the world, the practice is still legal in many states, including Kentucky, and that's what the organization Ban Conversion Therapy Kentucky hopes to change. Tanner Mobley is the director of the organization.
This is the third year that we've worked to submit legislation here in Kentucky. And so the past years we submitted, but it was kind of just me and a couple friends that had worked to do it. And we basically just emailed some representatives and then just kind of let it go. So this past summer, we decided to take it a step further by making an official organization and started developing a social media presence.
The practice of conversion therapy has varied throughout the years,
ranging from physical torture to a variety of psychological tactics.
But today, the most common form is aversion therapy. This is a psychological approach which forces those undergoing the therapy to correlate their sexuality with something negative. Mobley describes an account from someone who underwent the treatment as a child.
One of the survivors I met, when they were 7 or 8 years old, they went through conversion therapy, and they went with like a pastoral counselor, and we still don't know if they were licensed or not, but they were told that they were the last gay person on earth, and that if they didn't find their sexual orientation, they were going to die because the government was going to come find and kill them.
Although this is an extreme example, Mobley says it is not uncommon. Some of the practices do include physical challenges to combat the feelings of femininity that are often connected with male homosexuality.
A lot of the things that you still see today, them making like boys like fight each other to kind of like build masculinity, wearing backpacks full of bricks to feel the weight of being gay and the sin that's causing that, a really wide range of things.
Mobley wholeheartedly believes the lasting side effects that have been reported from those who endured conversion therapy as a child should classify the practice as child abuse.
These practices often lead to psychological trauma, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and often we're finding suicidal ideation, and sometimes, especially at a young age, I mean, you see symptoms of PTSD as people get older. I've met survivors that they still get phantom shocks, or they almost feel like hurt when they hug someone of the same sex, and all kinds of crazy things.
One of the most defining aspects of conversion therapy legislation in other states is consent, something Mobley and his organization are fully aware of.
At the end of the day, if you're a consenting adult and you want to attempt these practices despite knowing that they don't work, then, I mean, we believe that that's their choice to do so. But for youth that have no say in this and are trusting that their parents are going to be doing what's right for them, we can't continue to allow that to happen.
Conversion therapy has been denounced by national and international health organizations, including both the World and American Psychiatric Associations, as well as the American Medical Association. In fact, the APA has publicly opposed psychiatric treatments, quote, based upon the assumption that homosexuality per se is a mental disorder. This will be used as leverage in the process to pass legislation banning conversion therapy in the Commonwealth, which we will talk about next time. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 448 and 56 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Kenzie Thompson, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us this sunny Tuesday afternoon. Leanne Akers has sports right after this. Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
The Rowan County Vikings head through round one. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers.
The Rowan County boys basketball team will face off with West Carter tonight in the first round of the 16th Regional Basketball Tournament. The Vikings are 25-5 on the season. They won both regular season matchups with the Comets, who ended their season at 16-12. Rowan head coach Sean Thacker says his team looked at the district tournament games to fine-tune for tonight's matchup.
Where were some of our mental mistakes? You know, we've cut down on those tremendously, but we still made some. You know, that's going to be really important. You can't make mistakes. You can't make the wrong decision on, you know, in a transition defense or transition offense. You know, you got to make the right plays all the time, and you got to be able to do that. You know, we'll have to, you know, defensively, I was really pleased with how we played in the championship game against Bath County.
Tip-off at Morehead State University's Johnson Arena is set for 6:30 p.m. Boyd County will face off with Raceland tonight in the first round of the 16th region. In spite of the team's close proximity, they did not meet during regular season action, making preparation for tonight's game a little more difficult. The Lions come into the matchup coming off a 55-53 overtime win over Ashland Blazer in the 64th District Championship. The Rams fell to Lewis in the 63rd District Championship, 69-60. Tip-off at Morehead State University's Johnson Arena tonight is set for 8 p.m. The winner of tonight's matchup heads to the semifinal round of the regional tournament on Friday. The Morehead State University baseball team is currently battling the Charlotte 49ers on the road. The first pitch went out at 4 p.m. Head coach Mike McGuire says today's game will help him to continue to gauge the team early in the season.
So I look forward to that challenge. That's why they're on there. It's a good midweek test against a good RPI caliber club that you know, I think prepares you for not only postseason play, but you know, for OVC type play, because you know they're a club that would probably come in the OVC and compete for an OVC championship, and so it's a good opportunity for our guys.
For updates on the game, listen or to listen live, visit msueagles.com. The Morehead State University men's basketball team is preparing to wrap up regular season play this week. The Eagles will be facing off with in-state rivals during both games, first matching up with Murray State at home on Thursday. Then they hit the road to take on EKU in Richmond on Saturday. Head coach Preston Spradlin says both games should mean a lot leading into the postseason.
Both of these games are pivotal. You're fighting for a conference tournament spot or a conference tournament seeding, and so it's the culmination of the season and getting ready for that third season, and that's postseason in Evansville for the OVC tournament.
Thursday's game will be senior night for the Eagles, with tip-off set at 7:35 p.m. The MSU women's basketball team is also working to close out regular season on a high note. As the Eagles prepare for their in-state matchups, head coach Greg Todd says his team has the opportunity to finish near the top of the lead.
If we could possibly win both games, we would finish second in the seeding, which is always great. We would get a bye, but I think you just take one game at a time and hope we have a good day and are able to come out on top.
Tip-off for the women's game against Murray is 5:05 on Thursday. Morehead State University's athletic director may be leaving. According to the Rexburg Standard Journal, Brian Hutchinson is a finalist for Idaho State University's athletic director position. Hutchinson has been the athletic director for MSU for the last 15 years and earned his bachelor's and master's degrees from MSU. Over the course of his career at MSU, they've won 21 OVC championships, 2 Pioneer League South Division titles, and made 13 NCAA tournament appearances. He was the first of 5 finalists to speak at ISU on Monday. The University of Kentucky is preparing to open a new multi-million-dollar sports facility. KNN's Paul Miles has the details.
The UK baseball team will play its season home opener Tuesday at the new Kentucky Proud Park. It's a $49 billion facility built to replace the 50-year-old Cliff Hagan Stadium. Kentucky Farm Bureau secured the naming rights and elected to name the stadium for Kentucky Proud, the state's official agriculture marketing program. UK hosts Eastern Kentucky in the home opener. I'm Paul Miles.
And finally, in sports this afternoon, the top 10 contenders for the 145th Kentucky Derby could be making a stop at Keeneland. War of Will highlights the list of 137 nominees in the running for the $1 million Bluegrass Stakes on April 6th. The nomination does not guarantee the Mark Cassie Train colt that currently sits atop the Kentucky Derby leaderboard will run in the race, as all indications he will run in the Louisiana Derby on March 23rd. Game winner, trained by Bob Baffert, sits in second on the leaderboard, but's more likely to run in the San Felipe Stakes at Santa Ana on March 9th. The race is worth 100 points on the Derby leaderboard and would lock in a starting gate position for the winner. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Murray State on Thursday for their final regular season home game. The women's begin at 5:05 p.m. and the men tip off at 7:35. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell in choppy trading as investors digested the release of weaker-than-expected Home Depot earnings, as well as mixed economic data and testimony from the top-ranked Federal Reserve official. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 33.97 at 26,057.98. The S&P 500 was down 2.21. at 2793.90, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 5.16 at 7549.30. Home Depot reported adjusted fourth quarter earnings that were 7 cents per share short of expectations. The home improvement company also issued weaker than expected guidance for 2019, and these results sent Home Depot shares down about 1%. And Home Depot's results were followed by weaker-than-expected housing starts data. Data released by the Commerce Department showed housing starts fell 11.2% in December and reached their lowest level since September 2016. Home prices rose in December at their slowest pace since August of 2015, according to the S&P Case-Shiller Index report. Strong consumer confidence numbers actually helped equities recover some of their earlier losses. The conference board said its consumer confidence index surged to 131.4 in February, easily topping an estimate of 124. Among other stocks that reported earnings today, AutoZone was very strong, surging more than 5% after beating on earnings, as well as same-store sales. And Caterpillar dropped 2.4% after brokerage firm cut its rating on the industrial giant to sell from buy, while reducing the price target to 125 from 154. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.3% at $55.66 a barrel. Gold was up 0.1% at $1,330.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day today, with the Stock 600 index up 0.4%. In Asia, most markets were down, with the Nikkei down 0.3% and the Shanghai Composite down 0.7%. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Cisco and Nike, while the worst performers were Caterpillar and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were AutoZone and JM Smucker, while the worst performers were OneOK and Mosaic. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 32 cents at $51.29, Dollar General down 37 cents at $118.39, Marathon Petroleum down 18 cents at $64.57, AK Steel up 2 cents at $3.17, UPS up 19 cents at $111.05, and Yum Brands was down 13 cents to finish at $93.37. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at your weather for tonight, mostly clear with a low around 32.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from MSPR staff Tanner Boyd, Naya Endueza, Leanne Akers, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Tandy Wallingford, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today comes from WMKY's very own Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Kinsey Thompson for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.